know you can't meditate. If you a freak, then come on with me. And I know what you came here to do. Knock, let me see you get loose. Going down for it.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Four training camp practices are in the books. The Browns are off today. They will resume training camp practices tomorrow with four more straight days, culminating in the orange and brown scrimmage this Friday in front of 60,000 at Matt Wilhelm's old stomping grounds.
Yes!
The Shoe! In Columbus, Ohio, Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm with you for the next 2 hours for Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We're going to hear from the owner of the Browns, Jimmy Haslam, who spoke to the media on Saturday. That's going to come your way around 1:30. Jim Donovan, the voice of the Cleveland Browns, will be with us live around 2. We're going to also go around the NFL. We'll take your calls and your tweets, 216-578-0850. We're going to start with our Ohio Business Machines hot topics of the day. We have four practices under our belt so far. If you've been out to practice, we want to hear from you today. What's your biggest takeaway from practice? Matt and I will also talk about that. And then also on a scale from 1 to 10, 1 being the worst, 10 the best, what's your confidence level in the quarterbacks after the first 4 days? And Matt, I'll start with you with that one. No days off. We went right through the weekend, practices every single day. It was a lot of fun. We were out there for a live Dog Pound report yesterday, which did good ratings, by the way, on News Channel 5, the best so far. So thanks everybody that tuned in. And if you missed that, you can get it right now on ClevelandBrowns.com and the Browns mobile app. Before you get to the quarterbacks, did you see the Gribbs diss me on Dog Pound Report?
I did not. I haven't watched it back yet. So what did he do?
So we go to say goodbye to him.
Okay.
And it's like off camera as Baskin says goodbye to him. And I'm like, the Gribbs. And I go to give him like a big five. Disses me. Leaves me hanging. I have to give it the old right on from
right
back.
I love myself.
Like right on, self high five. And Baskin's like, what's the deal, bro? And then finally he shook my hand. The Gribbs.
Really?
Yeah.
You guys got to fix that.
The Gribbs. I know. He texted me last night. He said his mom was like, Andrew, what are you doing?
Andrew. Like, who's Andrew?
Yeah, that's the first
Our fan
thing
base goes, who's Andrew?
Who is that? That's AKA the Gribble? Gribbs.
Gribbs.
Yeah.
It's good. So, that was fun.
I think self high five.
I think that's, for all those making the decisions at WDWS and the video production, live is the way to go.
Let's do it live.
Live is the way to go. Yes. Live, it's fast, it's efficient, there's nothing like taking immediate feedback and spitting it right out. And that's what I love about going to practice and then walking in here and doing this show. I'm telling you what I see and what happened today while you're at work, in your car, whatever you might be doing. And it's a joy to do that. So live's the way to do it. And, it lets us all show a little bit of personality as well.
I agree. And it also creates moments like that, live TV. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can have fun things like that.
You think you have a friend and then all of a sudden
You don't. You realize that, hey, right on.
It's cool.
I love myself. So on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being the worst, 10 being the best, after seeing 4 days of Josh McCown and, by the way, Johnny Manziel, who I think since the first day has been very solid 3 days in a row. What's your confidence level in the quarterbacks right now?
I want to say that I prior to any practice starting, I was at a 6.
Okay.
I would say I'm at a 6.5.
Okay.
I'm in a, in that show me, a la Jason Gibbs, arena right now where it's okay. You showed me a little bit. I like what I see so far. There's not a whole lot of negative to draw from what I've seen. I'll give you a little 6.5. And I think, as we go week by week, by the end of the week after the Orange and Brown scrimmage, I'd love to be at a 7. And I'm not overthinking it to the point where I think we're ever going to be at a 9, or maybe even ever going to be an 8.
There's an upper limit.
There's a ceiling to this. And I think 7.5, 8-ish, to me, is 9-win, 10-win football for the Cleveland Browns.
I think you're right about that. So interestingly enough, I was at a 6. Going into everything, and after the 4 days, I'm at a 7. I'm going to go, I'm a little optimistic. That's just kind of my nature.
I'm realistic.
So I'm going to go 7. That's good. I'm going to go 7.
So we don't agree on that.
McCown. Well, we're directionally.
I know
weird.
We are. We are.
McCown's day on Friday was really, to me, the best that I had seen of any quarterback for the Browns. And the other thing that really stood out to me was Johnny Manziel seems more confident. He's quicker to deliver the football. He seems to be able to go through multiple reads. He's done that a couple times. And in watching the tape back, he looks more comfortable. One thing you and I talked about on the sideline was when you watch his college tape, he'd get to the top of his drop and he'd drift because he wanted to get as much space and make the field as big as he could away from the lines, probably for sight.
Both to throw and run.
And to run, right, to create space and angles. And in the NFL, and the guy that you played with, and two of the guys you played with, Aaron Rodgers, and then certainly Phillip Rivers does this better than anybody. In the NFL, you've got to climb the pocket.
Yeah, Phillip Rivers is so long and tall that almost he like gallops up
he does.
Into that pocket.
Sometimes he's like in the back of the center throwing over Nick Hardwick back in the day. But you've got to climb the pocket. And I saw him start to do that. And then what you realize is, you know, when you go back and watch that Cincinnati game, he did not climb the pocket at all, and the throws that were intercepted and many of his throws that hung in the air were thrown almost flat-footed, drifting back with that scissor kick. You got to step into the ball. Now, you can't always do in the NFL with collapsing pockets, but when you have the opportunity, you must step into the football and deliver it.
You definitely do, and something that we haven't seen thus far because Josh McCown's gotten all the first-team reps is Johnny Manziel's playing with the twos, and the twos, the two offensive line is, you know, is behind and how good our second-team defensive line is. So Johnny Manziel is throwing under duress and throwing under pressure almost every single time because I think the D-line is just that much better than the second offensive line. So that's one reason why Johnny probably is not confident stepping into the throw. But Phillip Rivers at sometimes not only steps up to make those throws, but his offensive line got so good that it was almost like the parting of the sea. They opened that big window for him and picked up that stunt, and the offensive line was in sync to pick it up, that it opened right in front of him and allows him to feel the natural want to climb, to throw in that window, whether it's a nine route, a crossing route below, or that big, you know, big dig or post. He just stepped up right into it. And Johnny Manziel doesn't have that. Everything that's happening in front of him is like a rugby, you know, a rugby scrum happening in front of him, and there's hands and there's bodies and penetration. So for him to stand in and do what he's done and for it to draw your attention, I think is a notch on his belt in regards to the progression that he's made as a quarterback.
I couldn't agree more. Speaking of Phillip Rivers, Gil Brandt just tweeted out a second ago, Phillip Rivers and his lovely wife Tiffany are now expecting their sixth daughter, which will bring the total count of children to 8.
Yes.
That's it. That's beyond my comprehension.
It is. And he'll probably be in the market his contract, I read that on Pro Football Talk that he's open to talk right now, and both sides have been amicable, but if it's not done by August 13th, their first preseason game, both sides are going to lay low and have no talks throughout the season. And what's really going to be very interesting for Phillip Rivers is he wants to be a San Diego Charger and not a Los Angeles Charger, and that could be a huge reality by the end of this football season. But, you know, both he and Eli Manning are in the last year of their extensions after their rookie deal, paid significantly. I think Phillip makes $15.5 million this year. In most cases, we'll use the Russell Wilson deal as a platform. More than Russell Wilson, but not more than Aaron Rodgers. I'm sure that's where everybody kind of wants to be, the window to be in, which is only about $1 million.
Right.
But, yeah, he's going to be in the real estate and, you know, having to look for more space, you know, very, very soon.
8 kids, that is. That is absolutely amazing. So the NFL.com, Greg Rosenthal, around the NFL, editor at NFL.com, released an article today, 15 potential surprise training camp cuts. And one of them was a member of the Cleveland Browns, checking in at number 6, Phil Taylor. Phil Taylor coming off knee surgery. They draft Danny Shelton. He's due $5.5 million, so he needs to show he's healthy to stay on the team. Phil Taylor, surprise training camp cut. Your thoughts on that?
Initially, what I thought all along, prior to the reports that $5-plus million was fully guaranteed to Phil Taylor, which was why I thought from a business standpoint, he makes the team so that you get the best out of Phil, which we saw only in spurts from time to time, and you get a return on investment for that $5 million. The team had the option to not give him that $5 million and potentially renegotiate a new deal for him or decline him and let him hit free agency. But they took it for a reason. And I don't know, they took it because they don't mind eating that $5 million if it doesn't work out, or they just felt really positive about Phil getting healthy and being a viable rotation guy in that defensive line.
Yeah, because it would be it's fully guaranteed. It's dead money. If they cut him, they are eating $5.5 million. So I think the logic that Rosenthal uses here doesn't show that he knows that that money's guaranteed. Because
right, when which you say, I was confused about until, you know, you go seek out information about that that extension, and it is, in fact, guaranteed.
Yeah, it's the fifth-year option on the first-rounder's deal. So to say that he's due $5.5 million, so he needs to show he's healthy to make team, that money's being paid. That money's being paid anyway. So
and Phil Taylor,
you want him on the you want
having
him
being drafted here, could essentially, and this is that and I've talked about it before, and this is that offset language that it was in Marcus Mariota's contract, where Phil Taylor can get cut, make $5.5 million from the Browns, a week later, a day later, 2 months later, you know, week 12, whatever it is, can get signed by another team. And they're going to negotiate, say they pay him vet minimum for a fifth year, which is going to be around $700,000. He'll make that prorated amount per game on top of that $5.5 million he's being paid by the Cleveland Browns as well. Double dipping.
So the way that the Browns, where I think that if Phil Taylor ends up not on this roster, it's going to be because he's traded. If they trade him, they actually save the $5.5 million.
They do.
So that's the only way
that the trade partner would take that $5.5 million.
Right.
Yes.
So that's the only way that I don't see Phil Taylor getting cut. The injury to Billy Winn. And by the way, I spoke with Uncle Bronco Bill. He has been doing pretty well. He's been doing pretty. He's got an ankle and knee injury, but he hopes to be back sooner rather than later.
Good.
They're looking into that.
Encouraging news.
They
I saw him hit the. And the one thing we'll have to see next time we see Billy Winn is that Billy Winn hit the Yahoo news timeline, so he's got to be impressed with that.
He's got to be happy. He's been on a lot of scrolls.
Yes,
I talked about being on the NFL Network scrolls. Speaking of NFL Network, I don't know if you watched it all yesterday, primetime training camp, primetime live.
I did not.
They had a very cool thing where they are showing, they're picking a team, a different team. They're going to do all 32 eventually, and they're showing a full practice of that team on NFL Network, or a majority of that practice. And they had, like, for example, it was the Bengals yesterday, and they had the Bengals announcers announcing practice.
Sweet.
And it was actually pretty cool to watch. And
So are you excited about the fact that you might announce practice?
I would love to do that. I would like to do that. I talked to KG. I said, how about me and Wilhelm talk about a little? Yeah, it'd be real sweet, right? So that's something to keep an eye on. But it was actually a pretty neat thing that they did on NFL.com. I don't think Phil Taylor gets cut. I think if Phil Taylor's not here, maybe Kansas City, who lost Don Terry Poe, calls them and says, we need a big body. And Ray Farmer says, okay, we got Phil Taylor if they can work out some. But I think when you go back to that Cincinnati game where we dominated them on Thursday Night Football, Phil Taylor played an absolute beast of a game. And I think that they want him. All of a sudden, if you can go from having depth to not having depth real quickly.
You can. You absolutely can. And I think, you know, we saw that last year, both on the offensive and defensive line, when guys were banged up, we weren't able to stop the run and we weren't able to run the football, which constantly and vehemently goes against what we're trying to create. Dominate in the trenches, play physical, stop the run the football, you know, shorten the game, you know, create a small margin for error by, at that time, and maybe even going into the season, by the quarterback, you know, by giving him the insurance that you can get the ball back on defense and give it back to him for one more shot to make a play and run down the clock. So, yeah, absolutely. I think Phil Taylor is going to make this team, and the one thing that I've said about this team in general is it's by committee. Defensive line is going to be by committee. Everyone has their strengths. Everyone has their weaknesses. They're all very talented. Now it's up to Jim O'Neill and Mike Pettine to figure out who fits into what puzzle, what package to best suit the Cleveland Browns each and every Sunday.
All right, when we come back here, we're going to talk about what has stood out to us. We'll talk about the camouflage jerseys, get our takes on that. Also, if you missed Dog Pound Report, it's on the Browns mobile app and clevelandbrowns.com. And in there, about 9 minutes into it, you can see the pass from Josh McCown to Gary Barnage that actually gets the offense, the camouflage jerseys, when they return to work on Tuesday.
I thought you were going
to
say, in there, you will see Andrew Gribble put
You'll see him diss me.
Diss you.
A flat-out dissing. It's just a straight-up dissing. I'll tell you what, it's going to be a while before I extend this hand to the Gribs again.
You're going to give him the left from now on.
I don't know. He might not get anything. We will see what happens. All right, we'll come back. We'll give you our thoughts, and I'll tell you what I saw from Danny Shelton yesterday that has me excited. 216-578-0850. We want to hear from you if you were at camp. We want to hear from you even if you weren't. If you were at camp, what stood out to you? If you weren't, where are you at with the quarterback scale of 1 to 10? Zagura, Wilhelm, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.